was no time choosing it. The price was somewhere up around 50,000 to 60,000 yen. I had a cheap plastic watch, but this was apparently not good enough for her. The watch, at least, she did not have delivered. Instead, she had them wrap it, and handed it to me without a word. Next, she took me to a unisex hair salon. The place was like a dance studio with shiny wooden floors and mirrors covering the walls. There were 15 chairs, and everywhere technicians were coming and going with shears and hairbrushes and whatnot in their hands. Potted plants stood at various points on the floor, and from two black Bose speakers on the ceiling came the faint sounds of one of those meandering Keith Jarrett piano solos. I was shown to a chair straight away. The woman must have set up an appointment for me from one of the stores we had visited. She gave detailed instructions to the thin man who would be cutting my hair. They seemed to know each other. As he responded to each of her instructions, he kept his eyes on my face in the mirror with an expression he might have worn studying a bowl full of celery sticks he was expected to eat. He had a face like the young Solzhenitsyn. The woman said to him, "I'll be back when you've finished," and left the salon with quick steps. The man said very little as he cut my hair.
"This way, please,"
when it was time for my shampoo.
"Excuse me,"
when he brushed off clippings. When he moved away, I would reach out from under the cloth and touch the mark on my right cheek. This was the first time I had ever seen it in a mirror other than my own at home. The wall-sized mirrors reflected the images of many people, my image among them. And on my face shone this bright blue mark. It didn't seem ugly or unclean to me. It was simply part of me, something I would have to accept. I could feel people looking at it now and then, looking at its reflection in the mirror. But there were too many images in the mirror for me to be able to tell who. I just felt their eyes trained on the mark. My haircut took half an hour. My hair, which had been growing longer and longer since I left my job, was short once again. I moved to one of the chairs along the wall and sat there listening to music and reading a magazine in which I had no interest until the woman came back. She seemed pleased with my new hairstyle. She took a 10,000 yen note from her purse, paid, and led me outside. There she came to a stop and studied me from head to toe, exactly the same way I always examined the cat, as if to see whether there was something she had forgotten to do. Apparently, there was not. Then she glanced at her gold watch and released a kind of sigh. It was nearly 7 o'clock.
"Let's have dinner,"
she said.
"Can you eat?"
I had had one slice of toast for breakfast and one donut for lunch.
"Probably,"
I said. She took me to a nearby Italian restaurant. They seemed to know her there. Without a word, we were shown to a quiet table in the back. As soon as I sat down opposite from her, she ordered me to put the entire contents of my trouser pockets on the table. I did as I was told, saying nothing. My reality seemed to have left me, and was now wandering around nearby. "I hope it can find me," I thought. There was nothing special in my pockets. Keys, handkerchief, wallet. She observed them with no show of interest, then picked up the wallet and looked inside. It contained about 5,500 yen in cash, a telephone card, a cash point card, and my swimming pool card. Nothing else. Nothing unusual. Nothing to prompt anyone to smell it, or measure it, or shake it, or dip it in water, or hold it up to the light. She handed it back to me with no change in her expression.
"I want you to go out tomorrow and buy a dozen handkerchiefs, a new wallet and keyholder,"
she said.
"That much you can choose yourself, I'm sure. And when was the last time you bought yourself new underwear?"
I thought about it for a moment, but couldn't remember. "I can't remember," I said. "It's been a while, I think, but I'm a little clean crazy, and for a man living alone, I'm good about doing my laundry."
"Never mind. I want you to buy a dozen vests and pants."
I nodded without speaking.
"Just bring me a receipt, I'll pay for them, and make sure you buy the best they have. I'll pay your cleaning bills, too. Don't wear a shirt more than once without sending it to the cleaners. All right?"
I nodded again. The cleaner by the station would be happy to hear this. But I thought to myself, proceeding to extend this one concise conjunction, clinging to the window by surface tension, into a proper full-length sentence, "But why are you doing all this, buying me a whole new wardrobe,